Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
So much. It's just an honor and a privilege to be here. We're excited about what the Lord is doing, and 1 hour or 2 hours is really not that far to me, because I'm used to driving 6 hours to go to a meeting. I'm glad I don't do that as much as I used to, but I want to introduce you to my wife Cheryl, in case some of you've never seen her. This is my main squeeze, and we've been married 46 years this September 6th, and she's the wife from my first marriage. And we enjoy life together. We have 4 kids, 8 grandkids. We had 3 of the grandkids just this last week with us, just before they go back to school. And we're a little bit on the tired side from having them for a week. But right next to Cheryl is Bryant and Pam Lowry. You guys stand, would you? They are with us as well. These are spiritual sons and daughters to me who have really become a tremendous blessing in our life. Bryant is my administrator. His wife is a prophet. And so I'm excited about them being here. I'm going to invite Pam just to come up and pray, prophesy anything that she wants to prophesy. So come on, young lady, and you just be yourself when you get up here.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the new level of freedom that you want to impart into this place today, Father God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you want to take this body that has been gathering and you want to make them understand what it truly is to be sons and daughters who are seated at your right hand, who are seated at the right hand of the Father, that the same Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in each and every one of them. So we release today the new level of freedom. We release today a new level of freedom, a new level of freedom, 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 over this house, over this region. And we say that those chains that the enemy has tried to keep you bound in, the chains of tradition and religion and bondage from the past seasons, we say that those are being broken off of you today. Those are being broken off of you today, because the Lord wants to move you from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. So we thank you, Father God, that you are taking these people up to new levels, to new levels, to new levels, to new levels. And we prophesy, Father God, over this worship team, that you will begin to shift them, Father God, that you will begin to unify them even stronger, Heavenly Father, that they will hear the new sound that heaven is releasing, that they will begin, Father God, even to write new songs during the middle of their set, Father God, that there will become a time where you will just have them completely shift. They will completely shift, and the sheet music will even go away, and all of a sudden they will begin to release a sound. They will begin to release a sound. They will begin to release a sound, and it will come in and it will shift the atmosphere. So we thank you for that, Father God, and we speak to that synergy, and we say shift, 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 shift to the sound of heaven, shift to the frequency of heaven. We thank you for that. And tonight, Father God, we prophesy in advance that the unification, that what you are doing in the churches in this region, Father God, that they are truly going to understand that this will become a more common occurrence, that the walls truly are dropped, that there is no competition. There is no competition. There is no competition in the body of Christ. There is no competition, because we are truly one body. And the worship team that will come together tonight will be a unified from this place and this place and this place, and they will come together and they will release a sound, and it will be like they've played together for years, because there is such a unity in the Spirit. So we thank you for that, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Father God, for the seeds of awakening and revival that you have planted deep, deep down into this heart, Father God, into the heart of this region, and that they have been in reserve for such a time as this. So we call them forth. We call them forth in the name of Jesus, and we say those seeds that have been implanted so deep down for such a time as this, now is your time to spring forth. Now is your time to spring forth. So we call you up. We call you up. We call you up. We call you up. Because there will be an awakening, a coastal awakening on the east and on the west coast. And it will converge in the center. And it will converge in the center. And this place, this region will be known as like the heartbeat of the Father. It will be known for the manifested love of the Father. So we call that forth in the name of Jesus. We call it forth that people will come into the property. They will start to come into this region. And things will just get broken off of them. That the glory of the Almighty God will shift. This place will burn in the realm of the Spirit. It will burn with the fire of the Almighty God. So we thank you, Father God, for your glory fire that you are depositing today into this region and into this place. And you are burning up everything that does not belong from you. You are burning up everything that does not belong from you. You are shaking the principalities and the powers and the kingdom of darkness that has tried to keep its stronghold in this region. And you are saying, as of today, a line is drawn in the sand and you are being toppled off your thrones. You are being toppled off your thrones. You are being toppled off your thrones because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that is King Jesus, is the only one who sits on the throne in this region. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you are going to do in Jesus' name.
Now you see why I have her come up to pray. Oh, that is so good. Thank you, Father. I am just really right now in a prophetic swirl of trying to figure out where the Lord wants to go today. I had something planned, and now he has shifted gears on me. He was already there. I just wasn't there. And but this, I've never been here before. How long have you been here, Pastor? 16 years. Here on this property? Okay, 13 years. It's just amazing how God has strategically placed this house to be an outpost. Not necessarily a local church, but to be an outpost, an ecclesia that reaches a region for the Lord. You probably have, this is probably the largest retirement community in the entire state of Florida, is in this region right here. And that's not a bad thing, because there is a move of God that's beginning to move across the land upon the Joshua and the Calebs. We need to realize that, because when Joshua and Caleb went in and possessed the land along with the other children of Israel, they were 80 years old. Many of the rest of them were in their 40s, but they were 80s. When Caleb said, give me the mountain that Moses prophesied and said was mine, he was 80 years old. That tells me that Caleb didn't retire. That tells me Caleb did not have a mindset of retirement. He had a mindset of being refired instead of retired. As a matter of fact, he had a nephew, I think his name was Othniel, got so fired up when Caleb was ready to take the mountain that God had promised him, that Othniel actually took the mountain along with Caleb. During worship today, one of the things that I saw in this house and in this region is that there is an open door into the heavens over this region and over this house. In John, the 4th chapter, verse 1, John is looking up into the heavens. He says, I looked up in the heavens, and behold, there was an open door standing there. And a voice that said to me, come up here, and I will show you things that must take place after this. And there's an open door in this house and in this region with an invitation to come into the heavenlies to hear what the Lord is saying over this region, over Florida, and over America. Now, I don't know what your thoughts about America is, but I can tell you mine. I have tremendous hope, probably more hope than I've ever had for this nation, that we will see a third great awakening come upon this nation with all the signs and wonders and the demonstrations of the book of Acts. As the kingdom of God comes into the state of Florida and in this nation, Chuck Pierce was with us in Satellite Beach back in October of last year. Pam prayed it a moment ago, and he said, I see the wind of God moving on both coasts of Florida. And he said, it will be called a coastal awakening. But he said, then it's going to come and it's going to meet in the middle. That both winds are going to converge in the middle of Florida, right where we are right now. This is some of the highest elevation of Florida where we are, where Cheryl and I live right now. We may be 3-4 feet above sea level. Not very much. Where our house is down near Champions Gate, it's probably around 130 to 150 feet. We're right on that ridge that runs right down the center of Florida. That at one time, Chuck Pierce had said that that was a snake, but now he said God has shifted Florida, and that thing that used to be a snake is now a backbone. And that Florida has a backbone. You're sitting on that backbone in this region. And you need to hear what I'm about to say, because I've had such prophetic swirl in me, such a visitation from the Lord and angels a moment ago. There are angels that are poised right now. They are poised in this region. They are poised in the villages. And they are poised in this house. And they're ready for you and I to begin partnering with them for breakthrough in this region. These angels are breakthrough angels that are poised for this region and for this territory. Take your Bibles and go with me to Acts 17. And thank you, worship team, for the awesome worship. Where's that young lady that sang right up here a moment ago? Where is she? Way on the back there, hidden. There's really a strong prophetic unction on the inside of you. And I want to encourage you during worship just to begin prophesying the word of the Lord over the house and over the region. You have a very strong prophetic gift. I'm hoping to pull that out of you big time while I'm here. And I get you in that place where you begin prophesying. I may turn to you tonight and say, sing over the villages. This, I don't know whether you realize it or not, this house is a hidden treasure in the state of Florida. This is my first time here. And we have been in a few conferences together, and we did eat at Jack Benny's Barbecue back when it was called Jack Benny's down in Mineola. When we lived down at Champions Gate, my wife would make me drive all the way to Mineola, 45 minutes one way, just to get Jack Benny's Barbecue. You have a hidden treasure here. You have something here that is so valuable, so unique. I've ministered almost every city across the state of Florida, and I've ministered in places that it was very difficult and very hard to see any kind of breakthrough taking place. But you here are poised for that right now. Now, look with me in Acts 17, verse 26. And he made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, especially in the book of Acts. I have a couple of more in Acts that are real favorites of mine as well. This right here begins defining how God has strategically aligned us and placed us. There's no doubt in my mind that this meeting this morning has been orchestrated by the Lord for many generations. Why it didn't happen sooner, I don't know. But I have no doubt in my mind that we're supposed to be here together today. The word determined there in verse 26, where it says, having determined their appointed times. That word there in the Greek is the word horizo, H-O-R-I-Z-O. And it's where we get our word horizon from. You also see this word in Romans, the 8th chapter, where it says, whom he did foreknow, he also predestined. That's the word prohorizo, that he predestined your horizon. God has created a horizon in your life that you're a part of it this morning. Where you live is a part of it. Who you married is a part of it. The place that you work is a part of it. The place that you attend church is a part of your horizo. Within that horizo that God has placed you, it's not just geographical, but it's relational. But it also includes the giftings, the dynamics of God that is in your life are inside your horizon. Say, my horizon has been ordained by the Lord. Man, if we could just grab hold of this, we'd get rid of some of the baggage that we carry around, emotional baggage that makes us want to live in another city or have another church or have another job. I met one person one time wanted to have another spouse, didn't like their spouse. See, God has given me a horizon. Part of that horizon included my wife that I started dating in the 10th grade of high school. And it's amazing how all of that happened. One day at school, I had no typing paper in typing class. I was just taking typing because it was an easy elective. But I actually can type better than she can. She types like this. And so I started asking around for typing paper, and my buddies didn't have any. They had just enough. And so I started going up the road. Do you have any typing paper? Do you have any typing paper? And I come to this little girl in the 10th grade of high school. I said, can I borrow any typing paper? And so she gave me a couple of sheets, and she smiled at me. And all of a sudden, my heart began to flutter a little bit. This was in the 10th grade. I did not buy typing paper the entire year. It's a true story. We got married, and I have not regretted one time of those 46 years of marriage. Because God gave her to me. She's part of my horizon. So are my children. Then Florida became part of my horizon in 1984. In 1988, on Labor Day, we moved to Florida and began pastoring a church. Florida became part of my horizon. But then there was a number of years that the warfare was so strong on our lives that I wanted to leave Florida. And I would go to the Lord and I would talk to the Lord about sending me somewhere else that was much easier. And this is what he said every time. He said, you're going to be here a long time. He was trying to get into my spirit to man up, to dig in, and to fight the good fight of faith. And be planted where I'm planted. And so in 98, and I don't have time to go in all the story, in the 90s, I learned how to fly airplanes, and I started flying trips over to the Bahamas and the Caribbean. I took a couple over to a place called Walker's Key one day, and I'm sitting down in front of the customs agent. He's asking me why I'm there. And as he's talking to me, the Lord's talking to me also. Two conversations going on. He said this, I want you to come to the Bahamas. I want you to minister to my people. I want you to save the lost, heal the sick, and cast out devils. Well, at that point, I was still wanting to get out of Florida. But I really didn't want to stay in the ministry either, so I didn't answer him. For 2 weeks, twice a day, the Lord would say this to me. I want you to come to the Bahamas. I want you to minister to my people. I want you to save the lost, heal the sick, cast out devils. And finally, after 2 weeks, I told him, I said, I will. But I'm not going to open any doors. You have to open the doors. 2 days later, a friend of mine that lives in the Bahamas pastored a church there at the time. He's in Key West now pastoring. He calls me up and said, we've been thinking about holding a week-long revival, and every time we pray and ask God who should come, your name comes up. So I said, I guess, Lord, you have opened that door. So he did. And for like 6 years, we saw a Book of Acts revival. The miracles you see in the Book of Acts, many of them we've seen. Just hundreds of people getting saved in a 500 population community. Multiple healings, every service people being healed, every service people being saved. But I had a problem. I had to come back to Florida after I was there for 7 days. I come back to Florida where there was no awakening, where you moved into what we call a no-wake zone. I'd go over there and awakening was full-blown. Signs and wonders and miracles and people being saved. Come back over here, pastor in a church that had no wake zone in it. I said, Cheryl and I actually started thinking about moving over there, and I had the Bahamian who, the first church that I preached in, who's now in Key West, he gave me 5 acres of land on the island of Eleuthera. We were seeing such fruit come from that. I really didn't understand that this was a type of training ground for me for what it was to come in Florida. And in the year 2001, persecution broke out because of jealousy. And it had been breaking out against the pastor where we were, but then it broke out against me. And I started seeing that the Lord was trying to shift me back to Florida. And I never will forget the last time that I went over there, when I came back to Florida, I got out of the airplane and I kissed the ground, literally. And I fell in love with the state of Florida. And somewhere along 2001 or 2002, God married me to this state. And I don't want to leave it now. Every square inch of Florida, I love. Those of you who love up north, you can have it. It doesn't snow down here. When you're a popsicle up there, we're enjoying nice weather down here. I love every square inch of this place, of this state. God's given it to me. We have ministered in many cities. We have ministered in the Capitol building. We have ministered in courthouses. We've seen God do some miraculous things since I began living in my horizon. Before, I was living, trying to live outside my horizon. And God has placed you in this region. And I'm telling you, the atmosphere in this region belongs to you, Pastor Gary and Pam. Belongs to you. God has set you here. And I know that you know him just as pastor, but I know him with some other gifts I've seen operating in him this morning. I know him this morning not only as a pastor, but a very strong spiritual fathering mantle rests upon you in a huge, huge way. Not only that, but there's an apostolic mantle that rests upon you as well. And I'm just going to encourage you while I am here to begin releasing those other two mantles, just like you would release the pastoral mantle. You begin releasing that apostolic mantle and that mantle of fathering in a much greater degree. And I'll tell you something else that I know about him. There's a tremendous authority that rests upon you. I listened to you when you spoke a while ago, and the atmosphere begin to shift and begin to move when you would speak a moment ago. It's a tremendous authority that you have upon the inside of you. You have found your horizon. When you go in and read there, it says that he determined their appointed times, and that word the word appointed there is the Greek word protasso, P-R-O-T-A-S-S-O, protasso. And that word means to put a specific command forward for a specific purpose. And one of the things that I realize, and I hope you realize too, is that before the foundation of the world, God has ordained and sent a command forward for this place to be here and for this place to reach this region, to reach this community, to reach this ridge part of Florida. He has sent that command forward from the heavens before the foundation of the earth. He sent a command forward in my life and said, you're going to marry a young girl named Cheryl. I've always loved that name. Cheryl, I mean, just listen to that name. It's not Ruth. I'm not against Ruth. You know, it's not Betty. It's Cheryl. I love that name. If you throw her middle name in there, it's Cheryl Ann. I love that name too. Everything about her I love. She's part of my horizon. She's part of my existence. She's part of my protasso that God put a specific command forward for a specific purpose. And then he said, you're going to leave Alabama and you're going to move to Florida. He knew that, and he sent that command forward. He launches these words out of heaven into your destiny. And many of them have been placed into your future. Some of you haven't arrived into your destiny point yet, and just because you think that you're 80 years old, you haven't reached your destiny, you still got a ways to go. Go after it. Go after that destiny. He'll launch that destiny into your future. And the more you pray into it, the more you accelerate the timing of getting there to your destiny. This is a good word. Listen to this. There is a very thin line right here in this place between heaven and earth. In this region, it's a very thin line. The heavens are not brass here. The heavens are wide open here. You can easily move into the heavens. And then the next word I want to bring out to you is the word kairos. And this is where we are right now as we're gathered here this morning. It's a word for time. The word kairos. Say kairos. K-A-I-R-O-S. Now it's actually a word for opportune time. Opportune time is a time when you have to begin acting because something is ready to happen. Let me show you what I mean. Let me get my wallet here for a moment. I would have asked my wife to get it, but she's talking about going shopping. Now, if I were to tell you that the first person down here can have this $20 bill, that would be your time of opportunity. But I hadn't said that. I said if I were to say that. That would be your time of opportunity to come and get a $20 bill. Now, if it had been 100, everybody would have been knocking everybody over trying to get here. That would have been your time of opportunity. If I had told you that I'm going to be outside and I'm going to have 10 $100 bills at the beginning of the service and the first 10 people in the door will get those $100 bills, that would have been your time of opportunity to run and grab that opportunity. Right now in this region, you're in a time of opportunity. Things that are going to happen here tonight with the mixture of the worship, with the mixture of the different streams within the region, the different pastors, the different churches are telling me that we're in a time right now that we have to act in opportunity because God is doing something totally different. So the first person down here can have this $20 bill. You're welcome. What did he say? Come on, man. I never would have thought you were 81. So we're in a Kairos time. So that means in this region, you've got to begin acting and striking the ground. Just like the king did when he came to Elisha in the time of his death. It's time to strike the ground, but we're not going to strike it three times. We're going to strike it again and again and again and again. We're going to keep striking Florida again and again and again and again and again until our enemies are defeated, until whole communities are taken over by the presence of God, until entire families come to Jesus. One of the miraculous things that happened in Cherokee Sound in the Bahamas was on the very first morning I was there, there was a lady by the name of Pender, Mrs. Pender, and she had a cancerous tumor on the back of her neck. And I'm just in my, well, I won't tell you how old I am. I was probably in my 40s back then. When I went there, I had never seen happen what was about to happen as I laid my hand on the back of her neck, and that cancerous tumor disappeared right under my hand. I was blown away. Her husband, who never attended church in his life, who was an alcoholic, came to church that night and got saved because he saw the demonstration of the kingdom of God. His wife had been healed. He got saved. He got saved at the age of 65. He just passed away last year, and this was in 1998. He got saved at 65. He went around his community to every person he knew, telling them about Jesus and what he had done for him. God moved so miraculously in this man's life that in one service that same year, he came in and he sat over here, and I saw him wincing in pain. And I wonder why he was wincing. And finally, at the altar call, he came up and his right hand was swollen about that thick. And he had this bone right here protruding out of it. He had a compound fracture with that bone. There's no doctors where we are. To get to a doctor, you've got to fly to Nassau, or you've got to fly to Freeport or take a boat. He's wincing in pain, and I'll never forget, I never had this happen either. Praying for this man, he fell out in the spirit. He was out cold. He did not give me a courtesy drop, and I did not push him. This man was laid out on the floor for 30 minutes. And I watched as the Lord reset that bone in his hand. In that 30-minute time, he was out cold. The swelling went down out of his hand. In 30 minutes, he gets up and he begins running around the church there, screaming, "I am healed," doing his hand like this. "I am healed, I am healed." He then bursts out and goes to his community and tells everybody what Jesus has done. An appointed Kairos time. But that Kairos time required action. If you jump with me to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. What time are you normally done, Pastor Gary? Okay. Now don't forget about times. There are four Greek words for time. One is kairos, which we've just talked about. Another one is chronos, which is chronological time. It's time measured on a chronometer, such as a watch or a calendar. Chronos in itself has no moral impact unless a kairos takes place inside of it, because it will embrace kairos. Then there's the word plerao, P-L-E-R-O-O. It's the Greek word, and it actually means fullness of time. When something is full, when something is about to rupture, when something is about to spill over, that's fullness. When you get to the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter in verse 1, it says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had pleraoed, had fully, had begun to spill over, when it fully began to come, there became a sound in the heavens. That's the word plerao. It's also used when the nets are filled with fish. Plerao. It's a fullness of time. But there's another time that once you hit the kairos, it bumps you over into this fourth time. I'm going to show it to you. In Acts 3, beginning in verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." This is something that the church must begin rising up and doing within the world. We need to begin walking in the authority to the point that we can say, "Look at us. We have something that's going to transform your life." Peter goes on to tell him. He began to give attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I do not possess any silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." Powerful word there. When was the last time you heard somebody from the church say, "What I do have, I'm going to give unto you"? It's very important that the church, the body of Christ, you and I as individuals, come to a place where we can confidently say, "What I do have, I'm going to give to you." You know the story. The man began to jump up. He began to leap. He began praising God. 5,000 people came to the Lord on this day when this took place. We read that in chapter 4 of Acts. But there's a word here for time that many people have missed over the years. And when you look at the Greek word for beautiful, it actually is not the word beautiful in the Greek. The Greek word is horaios, H-O-R-I-A-O-S. Horaios. And it actually means right time, or proper time, or perfect timing. It's only beautiful when what happens at that time makes it beautiful. It's like the man who was by the pool and had nobody to push him in the pool. He happened to be there, though, at the right time and was healed. Not only are we in a kairos time, but we're in a time in Florida where we're about to bump into horaios, the right time of the Lord. This is the right time gate. We're not only in a kairos time here at Grace Tabernacle this morning and this region here, we're also in a horaios time. We're in the right time gate. There's no doubt in my mind that this place is a gateway into the heavens. People should be walking through those doors and being healed. They should be walking through those doors and meeting God. They should be walking through those doors and become convicted of their sin. Because there's such an anointing and such an empowerment of grace upon this house. And God is saying now it needs to spill over into the county. It needs to spill over into the community. That just like John G. Lake, when he had the healing rooms in Spokane, people would drive for miles to come to Spokane, and many of them were healed by the presence and power of God when they came into the city limit of Spokane, Washington, because the anointing and authority was so great on John G. Lake and his team that they had literally brought health and healing to the entire city. In that time, the mayor of that city declared that Spokane was the healthiest city in the United States of America. We just went to Spokane back a few months ago to go to the healing rooms there to draw on that healing mantle that John G. Lake carried. And there's such a healing thing that the Lord wants to do through this region. And I've got another thing to share with you also. The eagles, the seers, the seer anointing is in this region and territory. And the eagles of the Lord are gathering in this region and territory right now. We're in a Kairos time. We're at a right time gate to shift the atmosphere into full-blown awakening in this region. Let me get the worship team to come back up.